Thanks for listening to this podcast from Exchange Church Belfast. We really hope that you find it encouraging and uplifting. And if you like what you're listening to, why don't you visit us online at exchangechurchbelfast.com for more information.
But this morning, I'm going to continue on in our series about prayer. We've called it Connect. And this morning, my talk's entitled, You've Got It, okay? And if you've missed any of the teachings that we've done in this series, can I really encourage you to go back and listen to them, even if it's just one week or all the weeks? Can I encourage you to go back to our website, download the teachings, or indeed sign up for our podcast on iTunes, because we have said some amazing things about prayer. And we've been unpacking just some great, great truths about what Jesus taught on prayer from Matthew 6, when very initially, I'm just doing a recap if you've missed out completely, God is more interested, we said, in our attitude when we pray and our heart when we pray rather than the words that we speak. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees for their many words and about their long, drawn-out, long-winded prayers. And we said it's not about the length you pray and going, yes, I prayed for 30 minutes, holy am I. But the whole thing is that it's why you're praying. Okay, we've been kind of looking at that. And Andrew last week, his talk was about the purpose of prayer and how it was simply connecting with God, not trying to impress him, not trying to talk to him out of duty, not trying to connect with him only because you need something. But it was more than that. It was about building relationship with God. And that's what prayer is, having a connection, a communication between you and the living God. And we've been saying how prayer is one of those topics that sometimes, more often than not, makes you feel really, really guilty because you're not quite a master at it. Sometimes it works, woohoo, and sometimes it doesn't. What is that about? Is it God just not answering? Is it us just not getting it? What is it about? And this morning I want to look at two main things, okay? And the first one is to kind of challenge you about how you view God. Because I wholeheartedly believe that your view and your opinion of God will naturally affect the way you talk to him, okay? It's kind of the same in human relations, okay? That if you don't like someone, your communication with that person is usually, ooh. Or if you have a dodgy opinion of someone, then your communication with them maybe won't be as flowing and as brilliant as it would with someone you really, really like. And it's exactly the same when it comes to God. The way that you view God and your opinion of him matters. And we teach a lot in this church about God's love. And we really believe that we're called to do that, to preach a message of grace and of faith and of hope. And we feel that that is just a huge emphasis on those particular things we think is important, because it releases people and everything that God has for them. When people hear a message of love and of faith and of, do you know what, you can do this and we have great hope. Okay, and that's one of the things that we feel is really, really important. But the whole thing is, you can hear this grace message over and over again, that God is good and that he loves you, that he wants you, he wants your very, very best. You can hear that and you can know that in your head. But I want to ask you this morning, has that message of God being love and God being good, has that affected the words you say whenever you pray? Has it affected how you communicate with him? Because if you truly believe in his goodness and his love for you, and if you truly understand just how amazingly wonderful his character is and how perfect he is, then it should affect you in a positive way. It should affect what comes out of your mouth if you truly understand that God is good. Now, I have to admit, right, and I'm just being honest, that when I first totally understood this grace message, like it was years back, and probably like within like the last 5 years, got it again in like huge revelation form, that it was like, wow, God's love is absolutely amazing and I get it. One day, knowing that God loves me, I had to stop myself praying because I was kind of realized that I was going off on one, okay? And I totally got that God loved me, totally got that he's a God of grace. And in my head, I knew it, totally knew it in my brain. But then I listened and I was listening to the words that was coming out of my mouth, and there was something that were completely contradictory to what I knew about God. And I remember praying about a particular situation, and it was to do with money, if I'm being honest. Aaron and I, as a couple, I was pregnant at the time with Lily. We as a couple really felt that we had heard God telling us that Aaron had to come out of work. I was like, what? Are you sure that's God? And we both prayed about it. And we went to the Two Goods, as we do with everything. We think God said this. What do you think? Okay, so we really definitely had this word that this was the time that Aaron was going to go full-time in worship. And that was so incredibly scary for me because I'm pregnant. I was self-employed, which meant that I wasn't going to get this amazing pay package because I'm off having a baby. It meant that I was just going to get what the government gave me. And to be honest, what the government gave me wasn't even going to cover half our mortgage. So I was going, oh God, this is awful. And but yet we had felt that God was saying, you know what, I am your provider and this is the time for Aaron to do this. And I'm like going of all the times. But we really heard God. And I can remember from month to month on that journey, knowing that God's good, knowing that he's my provider, month to month, at the end of the month when all our bills are coming out, you know, for the next month, panicking, begging God, going, God, you need to fix this. You need to help me. And I remember just stopping myself going, what are you doing, Jill Boyd? You are just going off in a total begging rant, okay? And the Holy Spirit just almost slapped me silly. The spirit of slap hit Jill Boyd because I could see in my head, God is good. He is out for my very best. But yet the words that I was praying, God, seriously, you really need to fix this. And I pray that you would just send someone or that somebody would just give us money or that something would happen. And I was praying something completely different. You see, God had already spoken. God was and always will be our provider. He could see our situation. I didn't need to tell him what was in my bank account. He was out for my very best and I didn't need to beg. I didn't. I knew that. But instead, I should have been thanking him that, you know, God, we are on your journey. You have asked us to do this. And I know that you're going to provide what we need for this journey. I knew that. But my prayer at that time was nothing more than a full-on rant, getting me nowhere. But you know what it did? It actually revealed what I truly believed in my heart. Okay, because I could know all day long that God loves me, that God's my provider. But yet when I spoke my prayer to God, it really revealed what I truly believe. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that says, out of the overflow of your heart, your mouth speaks. And it was when I listened to my prayer, I thought, oh, Jill, what are you really thinking of God here? You see, your prayers really, truly truly reveal what you believe. And I want to challenge you this morning. I don't want to like make you feel guilty or rebuke you or anything, but I want to challenge you this morning to analyze the words that you speak whenever you pray. Because the words that you speak truly reveal what you're thinking in your heart. What do you really believe about God? Is he really your friend who would do anything for you, but he's still a bit of a judge who's going to get you when you mess up? Is he a good dad who showers you with really great things? And that's what you know. He's brilliant. He just wants to love on you. Or is he the one who put that bad thing or that sickness or that test just to teach you a lesson? Okay. When life is tough, is he an onlooker just watching over you and you go, God's in control. He's got me. I know he's watching this. And he knows. Is he just an onlooker? Just going, that's the way of the world, guys. You know, Adam and Eve did this. This is the way of it. Or is he someone who sees the mess and he's right in that with you, encouraging you to use what he's placed on the very inside of you to overcome the very thing that seems to be your biggest obstacle? What is your God to you? See, I've realized that growing up and listening to so many different messages that it's easy to get this totally mixed up, mashed up view of God. And I have to admit, right, that it wasn't until Lily was diagnosed with cystic fibrosis. That's my eldest daughter who was dancing away with Daisy this morning. I have to admit that it wasn't until that moment when I got that diagnosis of that over her life that I started to really think about what I thought of God. Okay, you know, it's really easy. Let's be honest. It's dead easy to say that God is so good when life is rosy, when things are going well. Yes, God is good. But you know what? When something unexpected happens, for me it was Lily, when it's not as lovely as it used to be, when you're in a crisis, that's what you believe. That's when it becomes a test. What do you really believe? In the middle of the storm, in the middle of the crisis, in the middle of the chaos, what do you really believe? And it wasn't until that moment that I started to go, oh, here, what do I really believe? I've been saying God's good and God's love, but now in the middle of this, What am I doing? And I have to admit that this journey that we're on has been one of an amazing discovery. Okay, I've learned lots about me, I've learned lots about Aaron, and I have carefully dissected God's word to find out who my God really is, because I want to know, okay? And I was kind of going, do you know what? I have two choices to make. Do I pull the duvet over my head, okay, and go, where are you, God? Will you move? Will you change this? Will you fix this? You are so lovely, and I know that you are, but, well, like, seriously, look, okay, do I do that? Or do I turn to his word, okay? Do I discover that he's with us, that he never leaves us, that he knows our situation in intricate detail? It's not his plan, it's not his will. And I really believe that, you know, that Jesus, when he was here, he healed everybody. That's what he did. There was only like one group of people he couldn't believe because they healed because they didn't believe in him. But he healed everyone. And I read the scriptures and go, this is my God. My God wants my child to be well. And I have to say, in this one area, okay, particular area, I know what the word of God says, okay? And I choose to believe it. I don't want to pull the duvet over my head and go, will you do this, God? Because the word of God says that he's done it. Okay, and I challenge you, this for me is about healing, okay, my particular thing I'm talking about, but I challenge you to look at whatever it is that you're facing, whatever issue in your life that you're facing. Do you just pull the duvet over your head and go, God, whatever will be, or do you go to the God's word and find out what that book says about your particular situation? Okay, do you do that? And I want to challenge you this morning to apply what the word of God says about your situation. Because when you believe in your heart what the word of God says, do you know what happens when you pray? Your words completely change. All right? And it wasn't until I started, you know, knowing all this, but then listening to my prayer that I realized there was something not right. And I had to go to the word of God and build myself up and go, this book is amazing. This is what it says over my life. And do you know what? My prayers started to change. And the words that came out of my mouth were from my heart because I started to believe it in my heart. Okay. And when you believe in your heart, the way you communicate with God, it has to change. You don't beg him. You don't just grab onto him and hope for the best. It's like, it's done. It's finished. More often than not, it's about the grammar. I was trying to say it's about tense, but then I was thinking tense. But it's about like the grammar, whatever you would say, of tense, okay? It's like, is it about, will you do this, God? Or is it, you have done, okay? And what is God saying? Whatever you're struggling with, whatever problem you're facing, what is God saying about your situation? Is it, you need to ask, will you do? Or when you read the scriptures, do you find out it is done? You see, we've been given everything that we need in our Christian walk to just do life. And some of us don't even realize just how much God has poured into us by his Holy Spirit. And the thing is, when it comes to prayer, most of us are trying to undo the religion, you know, the religion that we've built up around the topic. We've been taught to pray a certain way for years. You know, I've grown up in church from like I was 3. And, you know, I just listen to other people pray and I think, well, that's the way you pray. That's what Christians do. And so I've been part of the Brethren Church, Gospel Halls, Church of Ireland. I was in GB, so that was Presbyterian. And I was in Baptist for a while. So I've kind of done the rounds, okay? So I've kind of prayed like all those different people. And so sometimes, This is what prayer was for me. Sometimes it works, and it's like, hallelujah when it does, but sometimes it doesn't. But we don't talk about that, okay? We just celebrate when it works. Just forget about the bit. When it doesn't work, it's okay. Just God's in control, okay? And that's just the way I viewed prayer. Prayer for me was always about asking. It was like, Jill, you might get it, you might not. Who knows, okay? But I want to ask you this morning, what is your view of God? Because you know what? See, when I understood that my God loved me and I started to go, this is the character of God, something changed for me in the way that I prayed towards him. How many of you know that someone who loves you will never set out to hurt you? Okay, someone who truly loves you never sets out to hurt you. And Andrew touched on this last week when he was talking about like the story of the persistent widow going to the judge. And he was talking about the guy who goes to his neighbor late at night to look for something. And more often than not, that those scriptures are used to kind of say you need to be persistent with God and you need to keep asking. But in actual fact, and Andrew touched on this last week, if you didn't get it, please download it. It was a great teaching. It was meant to be a contrast. It's like if these people know how to be good to you, how much more is your heavenly Father going to be good to you? You see, sometimes we expect people to treat us better than God. There's something totally messed up with that concept. Scripture's going to come up, Matthew 7, verse 7 to 11. And it says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. I'm just thinking he stands at the door and knocks. Love it. It's the worst song ever. Oh, which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? How much more? How much more? And that we sometimes expect people to treat us better than God. And this is where it's so important that we have the right view of who God is from Scripture, not from so-and-so's opinion or whatever he says about or whatever she says about God, but from Scripture. What does the Word of God say about God? Because it's so incredibly important whenever you're communicating with him that you're doing it from the right angle, that you know that he loves you, that you know that he's for you, and that he's every good and perfect thing is for you. Now, we can come to this great conclusion that God loves us, that he's provided everything we need for us. His grace is enough. Yeah? Or is it? Yeah? Okay. Okay, interesting. You've been praying, right, in the way we've been talking about the last 4 weeks. You've been praying this way. You're not begging anymore. Fantastic. But realizing and thanking God for the finished work of Jesus and the cross and what that means for you. By his grace, God has supplied all your needs. You've got this. Yes. But yet you look at your situation and it really hasn't changed. Okay? Anybody? Just your hands. Everyone. Okay? So you're going, this is great teaching, but seriously, nothing is changing. What's going on? You understand grace. You understand God loves you. He is for you, and you're believing what we're preaching here on a Sunday, and you're going and you're applying it, but seriously, here's the problem. What is going on? And I want to talk to you a little bit about that, because you see, it's not just about grace, and what I mean when I say that. Grace, as we know, is this unearned, unmerited favor from God that's completely independent of us. It has nothing to do with us at all, but it's simply God's action entirely. It was an action that God did even before anybody in this room was ever here. Grace was poured out, so it's nothing to do with anyone. It's poured out freely from God for us, completely independent of us. So it's got nothing to do. In a way, it's all like nothing you could do could ever make God love you more, and nothing you could do could make him love you less. It's that stuff. It's got nothing to do with us, nothing to do with what we do. And here's the thing, if it was about grace and grace alone, so it's like God's poured out his grace, if it's just about grace, then in theory, everyone would be saved, okay? Because the grace is being provided. So in theory, if it's about grace and grace alone, then everyone's saved because God's poured out his grace, okay? And it says that in the Word of God in Titus 2:11, it says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people, or all men, whichever translation you're using. So it says the grace of God has appeared, and it's appeared to all, okay? So, but we all know that not everyone's saved, okay? Yeah? We all know there's more to it. It's obviously not just about grace, as not everyone is saved. So we all know as Christians, if everyone's Christian in this room, we know that grace and our response to God's grace is what brings about salvation. Okay, we need to believe it. We need to make a response to it. And it's our decision. We choose whether we believe it or not. When we make a positive response to God's grace, that's faith. We have the faith to respond to God's grace. Okay? And it always makes me laugh because in Christian circles, usually you're either in the grace camp of God loves you, or you're in the faith camp of you've got to name it, you've got to claim it, you've got to grab it, you've got to reach out, you've got to do all this stuff. And actually, if you read the scripture, you will realize that it's actually both are required, okay? You will realize that it's a combination of both grace and faith. And let me read Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9 to you. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not of results of works, so that no one may boast. So you have been saved by grace through faith. Through faith. Okay, so both are required for your salvation. You were required, the grace was there, but yet you needed to make a positive response to it. So both grace and faith are required. And the thing is, the extreme faith teachings, which I have listened to, and I have read books that are like this, lead us to believe that God responds to our faith. That if we do it right, that if we say it right, that if we act in a particular way, if our actions seem like, you know, I'm coming off my medication, dear God, now you have to heal me, okay? If it seems as though we're doing faith things so that God will do, then there's something wrong with that. Because you know what? Faith does not move God. It says faith pleases God, but it doesn't tell us that faith moves God. Faith is just simply a positive response to what God has already done, receiving what he's done, not praying, not begging, not going, God, will you do? And wait for him to respond. But having this amazing revelation that God's done everything he's ever going to do. Jesus came, did it, and he's sitting down. He is not running around heaven, ticking prayer lists. He's done it. He's going, I'm waiting. Guys, come on, I've done it. Think about it. Respond to what I've already done, and it works. And that's the issue right there. You see, it's easy to get so stuck in a loophole. Whenever, because we know that faith plays a part, and I've been in this loophole, being completely honest, and it's easy to get stuck there thinking, okay, I'm not seeing Lily's healing. What am I doing wrong? What do I need to do? What scriptures do I need to speak out? What do I do? What books do I read? What am I doing? And then I'll see it. And it's easy to go, I've got to figure this out. This is me, and I've got to get my faith to a certain level, and then I'll see it. And it's easy to get stuck in that mind frame because it's so narrow, those particular teachings. But this is the issue right here. We can get caught up playing our part to the point that we get so distracted and we slip into this attitude of works, that if I do this, then God's going to. And it becomes all about works instead of simply putting faith in what God has already done. Faith believes that God has moved. Okay? So faith does not make God move. Faith believes that God has moved, okay? Has moved. Dead on. Very great, eh? And faith is like this reaction, a response, our response to that great thing that God has done. And whenever you believe that fully in your heart, okay, whenever you get it, that grace is being provided, your response matters. It's the right kind. It's responding to what he has done. That revelation should change how you pray. Theory? Yeah, in theory. That revelation that God has done it should change how you pray. Instead of asking God to do, you can come in boldly and with authority, command what God has already done to be manifested in your life. And I don't want to steal Andrew's thunder for next week, okay? Because he's going to be talking way more about this. But if God has done it, then you simply just need to reach out and receive it. Simple. We just love overcomplicating things and having 99 steps to your healing. Ugh. Okay? But that's it. It's simply hold out your hands and you receive what I've already done for you, children. It's done. Most of us keep asking. When we don't see something happen, we get into this mind frame, well, I'll keep asking and I'll keep begging. And if I don't see it manifest, then maybe it's something to do with me. Maybe it's my faith, what I do. Maybe my faith's not good enough. Maybe that's why I'm not receiving it. But that's wrong. That is such a wrong teaching. Jesus asked us to simply believe. We put our faith in him. Our prayers should change. It's not about, and this is one that everybody gets, it's not about, can you save this person? Because we already know that God has saved them. They just need to realize it, okay? We have no problem believing that. He's already saved. Will you heal? Okay, there's a different one. Will you heal, God? When you read the scriptures, like I said, you know, let's find out what God's saying about these things. Then your prayer doesn't become, will you heal? But it's like, thank you that your word says, by your stripes, I am healed. Okay, do you believe that? Okay, will you provide? Will you? Who knows? No, but if you know the true character of God and how much he loves you, will you provide changes? And to thank you, God, that you are a God who provides all of my needs. Thank you so much. What does God's word say about whatever it is you're going through this morning? Because you know what? An effective prayer, sometimes we go, how do we pray then? How do we pray? But an effective prayer comes into agreement with what God's word says about your situation. And you know what? When you're speaking scripture, when you're speaking truth, when you're speaking truth over a situation, do you know what happens? You find that your focus completely changes. When you're speaking the word of God over a situation instead of, and we said this ages ago about making the situation the prayer for half an hour and then fix it, God, amen. Okay, whenever you're speaking scripture and giving that the focus, it changes. Because it says in Romans 10:17, faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of God. So if you're going, I don't have faith this morning, okay, then do you know what? You go to the word of God and just believe what it says. That's all faith is, making a response to what the word of God says. It's not this, confess it so that God will do, but confess the word, knowing and believing that it's already done. You've already got it. Okay, to quote someone, you've already got it. Love it. So quit trying to get it. That was my attempt at an Andrew Womack quote. Anyway, but there's this great quote that's online. I've heard it before. Didn't know who said it, and I'm not going to attempt to say his name either. You'll see when it comes up. But it says, prayer does not change God, but it changes him who prays. Okay, prayer doesn't change God, but it changes him who prays. See, when you're praying in an effective way, whenever you're praying in a better way, like speaking words and speaking positive words and speaking scripture over your life, you build yourself up. You encourage yourself. You come out of 5 minutes even of praying feeling like a champion ready to take on every single giant that comes walking down your street because you know that God's with you. If only we could realize how much things could change in our lives by simply receiving and believing in faith what has already been done. This is so simple that it's sometimes jealous is too good to be true. This can't just be all it is. I just have faith in the grace that's been provided. That's it. It's not about you to think with Lily's thing that it's, if I say this 3 times a day, this prayer, then I will get it. And I realized like after about 2 days into it that I was just actually saying this prayer so that God would do it. The whole point of the prayer was actually, it was quite ironic. It was telling me, thank you, God, that you have done it. That's what I was praying. But I was going, if I say this, then it'll work. And it's kind of like, well, you just look for formula all the time. But there is no formula. God has just provided everything we need. There's a fantastic scripture, and I'm going to finish this because I know Andrew's going to talk about this next week. But it says, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it. And it will be yours. Mark 11:24. Whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you've received it. And it will be yours. What are you believing this morning? What are you having faith for this morning? What has God provided? Because you know what? You have all the power and all the faith on the inside of you to simply reach out and take what God's already given. It's fantastic. It's knowing who God is, knowing that he loves you, that he is a good God, but not just knowing that in your head. I want you to think about when you're praying this week, to go, do my words and what I'm praying reveal what I really think about God? Has it dropped? Has it made that 9-inch drop to my heart? Or am I just simply doing Christian formula and ticking boxes because so-and-so says it's a good thing to do? Or do I really get this? And then we need to understand that we do have to make a response. It's not just about grace. We need to respond to it. Maybe we could stand.
Yet to come and